Welcome to the Movie Film Show, featuring the insightful reviews of Mr. Film and Mr. Movie. This show we review Crazy Stupid Love. And now, here are Mr. Movie and Mr. Film.
Hello, I'm Mr. Film.
And I'm Mr. Movie. And, well, Mr. Film, we finally get some comic relief from the onslaught of comic book and other fantasy franchise fare we've been enduring this summer in Crazy Stupid Love from Warner Brothers.
You're getting a divorce?
Yeah.
Amy heard you crying in the bathroom. We all thought it was cancer.
Oh.
Thank God, man.
Yeah, just my relationship.
Hi, can I buy you a drink?
Uh-huh.
Let's get out of here. Want to get out of here?
Yeah.
What are you doing later?
I don't know.
I do.
Hey, ladies man guy. Any tips of the trade?
Your wife cheated on you because you lost sight of who you are as a man. Why don't you take that straw out of your mouth? It looks like you're sucking on it.
Okay.
You're sitting there with a supercut haircut, and you're wearing a 44 when you should be wearing a 42 regular. Credit card. Where are your wallets?
Steve Carell plays Gil, a 40-something-year-old husband who's at the end of his marriage with his wife, played by Julianne Moore. Their love has died, and she's had an affair, and the love for their two kids is not enough to keep them together. So post-divorce, Carell wallows in his misery at the local bar when the bar's resident stud, played by Ryan Gosling, takes him under his wing and shows him the ropes of dating life. Gosling's got it down, the clothes, the pickup lines, the good looks, and he helps transform Carell into an attractive guy, and the two men become buddies in conquest of beautiful women. Now, Crazy Stupid Love, at close to 2 hours, has a lot of subplots. For example, Carell's babysitter is in love with him, and Carell's son is in love with the babysitter in a love triangle that becomes uncomfortable at times. And then there's another side story of the love interest for Gosling, who's played by Emma Stone. And then there's a romping affair between Carell and Marissa Tomei. And there's even more beyond that, so much that you really start to wonder where the heck this is all going. But the good news is that we're laughing all along the way, and once things actually get going. And actually, Mr. Film, if you remember last year, we reviewed The Dilemma, which was kind of an odd mix of good serious drama and juvenile comedy, and it didn't really work. And
yeah.
I think here Carell and company here shows us how to make that work. The tone in this picture is more serious than most comedies, but you know what? It is actually funny, and you know, there's a lot of setups here that have a huge payoff later on in the story. So, you know, the jokes, they're not just slapstick, sketch comedy, one-off kind of jokes. Punchlines in this are based on character development, oh my gosh, and plot lines, oh my gosh. Now, that doesn't make for a good movie trailer, and I think the marketing department had trouble putting one together that makes it really enticing, but I think that'll pay off in terms of the word of mouth for this picture. So if you're on the fence after seeing the trailer, you know, don't worry. The PG-13 rated movie is good and is a lot more than what's promised in the marketing. So go check it out if you're interested. I mean, there's some real laugh out loud moments in this, to the point, Mr. Film, that you're going to wish the theater had seat belts to keep you in your seat. You'll be laughing so hard. And I like that this picture also did have a serious backbone. I think that actually makes for better comedy. My biggest criticism, unfortunately, is that the end is too long, too unrealistic and far-fetched, even on the movie's own terms. And it sort of unbalances its tone too far in the wrong direction, which is a little bit odd, you know, as I'm saying that I like that aspect of it. But, you know, ultimately it loses some of that feel-good feeling that you want from a comedy like this. So that could also hurt its word of mouth a little bit. But you know what I say? Go for the ride. You'll laugh yourself out of your chair and forget the ending. So I'm going to give this a B+, Mr. Film.
All right, Mr. Movie, I'm going to do you one better, and I'm going to call Crazy Stupid Love probably the best romantic comedy of the current crop of romantic comedies, and probably one of the best films of the year.
Whoa, we found a romantic comedy that you liked, Mr. Film?
I know, it's crazy, isn't
it? Oh my gosh!
I'm not a complete cynic as most people would think. Now, this is what a romantic comedy should look like. particularly for a 21st century audience. Now, this had been made in the 1930s. It would have been a lot more of a slapsticky sort of thing. But even those films from the 1930s, I think Philadelphia Story, for instance, which is 1940, I guess, that did, as you pointed out, have that serious backbone in there. There's some serious stuff going on in terms of all, even in the middle of all the craziness. And I love that aspect of this picture. There's one scene with Steve Carell in the rain, which I actually anticipated the line, but the fact that I anticipated the line, there's a funny line that I don't want to give away. It made it even funnier for me, and I loved all the performances here, and the fact that we get a requisite happy ending. I'll get to that a little bit in a minute. It fits with the rest of the picture. Sure, the guys are schlubs and would-be womanizers, and I guess womanizers, in fact. And the women, particularly those in the bar sequences, are a little too easy. But the underlying theme of love is the ultimate value, and how a soulmate makes you better is never betrayed. And that, I love that whole soulmate aspect, particularly how it works out at the end. And even the rather sophomoric fight at the end and the graduation scenes work. And I'm with you. The end is about 3 or 4 minutes too long, and what happens at the graduation is a little iffy, but it kind of still worked for me. Okay. And this is really because they do fit with the plot structure and are handled in a really kind of neat sort of gymnastic sort of way by the directors, and what should have been painful sitcom-esque scenes to actually work. And I'm with you that the Dilemma is a great example of how this sort of a film can't work. This is the film that this shows that it can. And a lot of this is due to Steve Carell, who hits a home run here. Yeah. I think this is really his best live action performance since the 40-Year-Old Virgin and Little Miss Sunshine. And I hope with him leaving The Office, he'll just turn in a slew of smart, recognizable, fun performances like this. Now, for me, the only misfire in the whole thing is Marissa Tomei's character. She's a little too one note, and I think even in terms of the film, is humiliated a little too much, and it was almost a little mean. So I didn't like that aspect of it, but that was a very small part of it. But otherwise, this is what a romantic comedy should look like. There's no poop jokes, has a good serious theme, and it's a lot of fun to watch. You like all these characters; they're a lot of fun. They do things because the plot demands it of them, and because that's who they are. And you know who these people are. You recognize them. You root for them. You like them. And that's a nice change of pace. I'm just afraid that this film is more of a fluke than a trend. So with that parting shot, I'm giving Crazy Stupid Love a sane, smart, and affectionate A-.
All right. I think that's fair. No, you're absolutely right. This is fun. And I like that there are a lot of fun twists in this that you're not expecting.
There's a big twist that I did, which I obviously can't give away, but the big twist I did not see coming.
And there's a lot of like fun little surprising ones that, you know, there are these movies out there where they have all these different subplots going on and they're all sort of interwoven together at a certain point.
Yeah.
And, you know, this movie doesn't feel like that, but you reflect on it and it's kind of like that. So that's nice. It was really a refreshing surprise in that regard. I didn't really mind the Marissa Tomei stuff so much. I think, you know, one of the things involving her character I thought was really, you said it was mean. Maybe it was, but something happened that I was just falling out of my seat. That was when I said I wish the theater had seatbelts. That was the scene that for me, I wish I had a seatbelt on there. I think you're absolutely right about Steve Carell. Now, he's playing a producer role in this. So I think that's really interesting, Mr. Film. I think we need to pay closer attention to that and really trust him in the movies. You know, I'm ready to just go see the next comedy that he's in and go and check that out. I enjoyed him in some other movies that he was in. Date Night, I mean, not great, but still fun. Yeah. Little Miss Sunshine, you know, not great, but interesting. You know, 40-Year-Old Virgin was a lot better than it seemed. So, you know, I think, you know, the fact that he's playing a more active role in the making of the movies is a good indication and hopefully, you know, gives us some promise that at least for you, Mr. Film, there might be some more romantic comedies in the pike, in the works, that we can actually say are worth a shot. So,
well, yeah, and again, it goes back to it's you have good characters, a good plot, I've seen a lot of films. You've seen a lot of films. If I'm surprised, and I don't say this in a very kind of dismissive sort of way, but having seen so many sort of these films, unfortunately, so many of them are so predictable. The fact that there were some big plot points that maybe kind of say, okay,
and multiple ones too. It wasn't just ones. Yeah, there were a lot of surprises in this. So
which is great. And then you see things happen. And it's like, well, they had to happen, but I didn't really quite see that all coming together. So it was really and refreshing is a great term. So yeah. I think this is probably not only a great, I wouldn't say great, but it's a good, fun, refreshing romantic comedy. I think it's I don't know if it really would be a date night film. I'm not sure about that, but because of some of the things that happen, but it is well worth going to see it. So I say check it out, and then if you don't have a chance or you're a little afraid, definitely put it on your Netflix queue and stream it or rent it as soon as it comes out.
So, Mr. Film, I want to make one more point for those who have seen the movie, and without giving anything away. One thing I do want to say that at the end, I didn't really believe in the position that Steve Carell's character took for as long as he took it. And that was kind of a turnoff for me. And the way everything wrapped up, it kind of left me with not so much a feel-good feeling that I want from a romantic comedy like this. So that, to me, was a little disappointing why I did err on the side of B+. I mean, not very often in movies am I laughing that hard through the whole experience. So I want to really emphasize, you know, this is great for the ride. But if you have kind of a sour taste at the end, you know, I there is something in this that you mentioned, you know, a little bit mean-spirited. I don't know. Maybe there's some of that. It's not as innocent as a movie as you would kind of maybe want for that walk-away feel-good feeling.
Are you talking about the speech, basically?
The speech, just the way everything ends up at the end. And yeah, so I think walking out of the theater, you don't have necessarily that feel-good feeling that you get, like, from Philadelphia Story or something like that. So, you know, I really enjoyed this, but it doesn't totally sit perfectly well. And I'm willing to just forgive that and forget it. But I think people going in need to know that.
I think, however, Philadelphia Story does have a bittersweet aspect to it, and it's probably one of the greatest screwball comedies that probably ever made. It's one of my favorites, and I like that. I like the fact that it is a little bittersweet. I like that aspect of it because I think that the problem with a lot of these romantic comedies, they have all these horrible things happen. All the characters hate each other, and then at the end, they, you know, somebody saves a puppy or something, and they all fall in love. And it's stupid. This, I think at least it again, it's that recognizable aspect of it. We, you know, Everything Must Go that came out a little earlier in the summer with Will Ferrell had similar sort of thing, kind of a bittersweet sort of feel at the end. So I like that aspect of it. I actually think that's a strength. That's one of the reasons why I liked it all the way through. So I think we're going to have to disagree on that one little thing, but agree on pretty much everything else.
All right.
All right.
Well, that's all we have for this show. As always, please visit our website at www.moviefilmshow.com. If you have a comment or question, you can write to mail@moviefilmshow.com, or you may call our 24-hour comment line at 818-581-2010. And stay tuned for After the Credits, where you'll hear me and Mr. Film save a puppy. All right, I'll see you next show, Mr. Film.
See you, Mr. Movie. Let's go find a puppy.
Okay.
Bellflower, have you heard about that?
Uh-uh, what's that?
It's this, it was made for $17,000. It's kind of a Mad Max sort of nihilist, anarchist.
Oh my God.
I was just going to say, I think I just talked you out of it. So,
yeah.
All right.
Nihilist,
I guess
huh?
They're seeing apes and change up. Okay.
All right. Sounds good. I don't know. I mean, whatever.
That's fine.
I already saw the change up, so.
Yeah, we should probably see that.
So. Yeah.
Doesn't waste your time.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Fair enough as it is. I'm crazy. I'm stupid. I'm in love.
Woohoo! Subplot, 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 subplot. Okay.
I love that whole soulmate aspect, particularly how it works out at the end.
Where Mr. Movie and Mr. Film save a puppy.